Studio 360.
This hour of Studio 360 is all about the Pacific Northwest.
Diane, I'm at the Twin Peaks County Morgue with the body of the victim. What's her name?
Laura Palmer.
Laura Palmer.
The Northwest was the setting for one of the most idiosyncratic and influential network television shows of all time, Twin Peaks. Even though it failed to keep a giant 1990-sized network TV audience and lasted only two short seasons, it was cultishly beloved and revived last year on Showtime for one more season. Even though the titular town, Twin Peaks, Washington, is fictional, on the show, it's fully imagined and feels real. And as Eric Molinsky found out, one small cohort of people don't think of Twin Peaks as a twisted netherworld that only exists on TV. For them, it's home.
There are over 100 towns in America called Twin Peaks. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's someone in every one of those towns who watched the show in 1990 and thought, hey, that's my Twin Peaks. Now, none of the towns in the state of Washington where the show was filmed are actually called Twin Peaks. But the show sparked a different kind of identity crisis for them. Until Twin Peaks went on the air, North Bend and Snoqualmie were known as sleepy logging towns with great fishing, hiking, and skiing. And suddenly they had this new identity imposed on them by a filmmaker with a very strange sensibility. Kyle Tweedy grew up in North Bend, and he remembers the moment when everything changed.
So when the first show came out, you know, everybody was sitting down, everybody in town sitting down watching the show, and there's pictures of the birds and the mountains and all the fun stuff that people love about North Bend. But then all of a sudden there was this dead gal wrapped in plastic, and half the town turned their TVs off. They didn't want to be known as the serial killer town.
Good Lord, Laura.
Laura Palmer.
Now, Kyle is the owner of Tweedy's Cafe, which is the same location as the Double R Diner on the show. That's where all the characters plotted their evil schemes or gossiped about who killed Laura Palmer. And Kyle says it's hard to walk the line between being a real place and a destination for tourists who come there with big expectations. Like on the show, another guy named Kyle, actor Kyle MacLachlan, is always going on about how this diner has the best damn coffee in the world. And the cherry pie?
This must be where pies go when they die.
That's hard to live up to.
Let me tell you. Cherry pie is expensive to make, expensive to buy the ingredients for, and a pain in the butt to make by hand, which we do.
But it's not all cherry pie in Twin Peaks. Dana Hughbanks is a musician, and she works at the Black Dog Arts Cafe in Snoqualmie. She thinks that David Lynch captured something about the area that feels right to her, something darker, more mysterious.
There are so many specific elements, whether it comes down to like the track of the chorus frogs that he chooses to put into a scene behind, you know, dialogue at night, or the, you know, the way that the road looks with like the towering evergreen trees, you know, when James is riding his motorcycle down the road at night.
Now, Dana was born in 1990, the year that Twin Peaks came out. She went to the same high school we saw on the show with the red stripes in the walls. And she says that growing up, her friends completely embraced their reputation as the real Twin Peaks.
Just even from the time of being in middle school and high school, I remember there being this sense of almost like a curse hanging over the town. And that, you know, that sounds really cliche and corny, but it's true. I mean, that was often a part of the conversation. There was a string of years, maybe 10 years, where every single year someone from the high school would die in some tragic way, whether, you know, drowning in the river or, you know, murders and suicides and, you know, terrible car accidents. And there was definitely this sense of, you know, tragedy just sort of hanging over the town a lot of the time and still. And it creates this sort of atmosphere where you can almost see a story like Laura's story playing out.
Of course, everything feels melodramatic when you're a teenager. That's why I loved the show when I was in high school. But this area does have an unusual track record of grisly murders. In the 1980s and 90s, Gary Ridgway, the so-called Green River serial killer, dumped the bodies of his 50 victims along the Green River east of Seattle. Dana remembers two instances where men killed their entire families, and one of them lived up the road from her when she was a kid. There's also a literal darkness to the show, which feels right to her. And it's not a camera trick. That's just the way the area looks.
I just spent the last year traveling the country, and I just returned to Snoqualmie like 2 months ago. And when I came back to Washington, you know, the people that I was traveling with, I turned to them and was like, I forgot how dark, like how literally, you know, the sky and the colors and the trees and the hillsides, like how literally dark this place is compared to anywhere else in the country.
Christy Coffing owns the cafe where Dana works.
We get so much rain and so much darkness. And when it first begins in the winter, you think, oh, this is fine, I can handle it. And then a couple months in, you just think that you're going to go insane.
But Christy strives to keep a positive attitude. Her cafe is a haven for local artists and musicians. And when they were filming the new season of Twin Peaks, the crew was in there regularly.
We had David Lynch in for lunch, and he was just very gracious.
And did he order pie or coffee?
No, I think he had a turkey BLT.
Christy loved Twin Peaks when it came out. In fact, before the show debuted, someone from the props department bought a diary at a store that Christy ran. At the time, she didn't think anything of it, but that diary turned out to be a huge plot point on the show. It was filled with Laura Palmer's secrets.
And then she's written, nervous about meeting Jay tonight. That's the letter J, Diane. And that is the last entry.
You know, you have to remember that at the time we were a logging community. So most of that community, the loggers, they didn't really care either way. But a lot of the merchants just stood up and took notice because it was just amazing the tourism that it brought to town.
Kyle Tweedy also relies on tourism, but he didn't mean to. When he bought the diner in the late 90s, he thought that Twin Peaks was a fad that had passed its prime. So he remodeled with banners of local sports teams.
But then in maybe 3 months after owning the business and opening up, there was this gal standing there looking at the one or two pictures that we had left of Twin Peaks. And she had flown from Germany to New York, from New York to Seattle, got in a taxi and came here. Didn't have a hotel, didn't have anything else. 19 years old, she had to get to here. So at that point, we just really realized that for some of these fans, it was really a mecca for them, you know, a place that they needed to visit before they died. So we began at that point to try to amass as many Twin Peaks memorabilia things so that we could.
Then in 2015, he learned that David Lynch was coming back to film season 3 of Twin Peaks.
Sat down with David Lynch and asked him what he wanted to do, and he said he kind of wanted to take it back to the way it was before. I said, well, if that's what you want to do, go ahead.
But the town can't go back. When Twin Peaks first went on the air, some of the locals worried that the show was undercutting the small town charm of the area. But now they're facing a bigger identity crisis. Whether these towns will remain small towns. Now they're only 30 miles east of Seattle. And since the tech boom took off, they become very desirable locations for people working at places like Amazon or Zillow. The population has quadrupled since 1990. Housing prices have soared beyond what a lot of locals can afford. They're even tearing down the old high school to make way for all the new families. And that bums out Dana Hubanks.
We want it to stay the strange, weird place that it's always been. And again, going back to the, you know, the relatability with the series, it's like coming here, you could go into, you know, any bar in North Bend and meet someone just as weird and strange and, you know, whatever you want as a character on Twin Peaks. But the more that you know, development happens and the more that gentrification happens, you know, the less and less of that you see and the, you know, more and more of, you know, suburban families and parts of the community that don't bring the character that has always been associated with this place.
So when Dana watches Twin Peaks, she sees a time capsule. I mean, yeah, everybody on the show is up in each other's business and trying to screw each other over. but at least they know their neighbors.
I feel nostalgic for that time, even though I was only, you know, I was an infant in that time. But just to know that there was a time when this place was a little bit more protected from all of that craziness. And yeah, I wish we could return to it.
That's right. To her, craziness is not a supernatural serial killer named Bob. It's seeing a banana republic where there used to be a mom and pop store, or seeing BMWs where there used to be pickup trucks.
Every week, basically, you see a new, like, notice of public land use go up, and you're like, all right, you know, another shopping center, another housing development, you know, what's next? And I think a lot of people in this area feel like, you know, we're destined to become another Anytown USA, basically.
Eric Malinsky is host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds, which is about sci-fi and fantasy and other not necessarily realistic genres.